Next Step number 13, September 10, 2008. Welcome to the Next Step. Hey, this is Father Voskin welcoming you back to the Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the Initiatives Mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Good to have you back. Actually, it's good to be with you again today. And I know what a weekend we had this weekend. That event Friday night honoring Gabriel Starring, the Person of the Year. First of all, I want to thank all of you who came up to me that night and told me how you're feeling about these podcasts. I appreciate all the comments. And I appreciate putting names with the faces. It was great seeing you because some of you write to me and I don't have a chance to figure out who these people are. So it was great meeting so many of you Friday night. And of course, what an event. I mean, we're still buzzing by it. And if you weren't there, trust me, in a few minutes, I'm going to give you a rundown because people are still talking about it. I am still thrilled about it. I'm on a high from what happened Friday. Not only did we get together to honor an incredible human being, Gabriel Starring, but we got the word out. And as I mentioned that night, I think this was the first time a small minority of people, one of the smallest on the planet Earth, like Armenians, are looking beyond themselves. It actually was historic in that respect. It was the first time that everything about this event was geared for Darfur. And certainly we heightened awareness. I cannot count the number of people that came up to me after the event and told me that this is the first time that they understood something about Darfur, the magnitude of what was going on in Darfur. And certainly gauging by the letters you've been sending me and the feedback I've been getting, I know that we at least accomplished that one aspect of our goal that night by getting the word out and heightening awareness. But even more than that, I think we created a buzz. People are talking that we have to start taking responsibility, not only for ourselves, but for our world. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. We're going to get into some of the details of what happened last Friday, because I know so many of you are waiting to find out. But before that, I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the political world, or should we say the religio-political world. Yeah! You know, all kinds of fun things going on there. But before that, I want to tell you that later on I'm going to be talking about the Holy Cross. This Sunday is one of the major feast days of the Armenian Orthodox Church. It's called the Elevation of the Holy Cross. And we'll be talking about the Holy Cross, Jesus' cross, and why that's important for us in our lives. I mean, an event that took place 2,000 years, and actually such a negative event, an event where basically somebody was tortured and killed for absolutely no reason. I mean, he's just spread love and he was just killed and crucified. And we have the audacity to sit here 2,000 years later and celebrate it? I mean, like, come on, what's wrong with us? Well, why don't you wait a few minutes and we'll get to what's wrong with us. But for right now, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the political arena. You know, a couple weeks ago, I talked about McCain and Obama right after they had that conversation at Saddleback, and they talked about faith and everything. And I explained that, you know, our scope and our mission here with doing these podcasts and certainly with our ministry is not a political one. But when they started inviting these religious topics, it's important to gauge or at least to look at how these religious themes are playing out in the political lives. I don't think I remember a political campaign being so exciting as this one. I mean, I don't remember people tuning into conventions to the magnitude that they did this year. I think Obama had something like 38 million. McCain had 39 million people tuned into his speech. And certainly now the latest addition to the McCain campaign is Governor Palin. People are saying, wow, we got a woman on there. And not only a woman, but she is another maverick. Yeah, let's get those cowboys out there. Come on, Ken, don't do that. That's reserved for the Lone Ranger and Kimo Sabe, I think. But anyway, it's not about mavericks, it's not about horses or the West or anything, but I'm talking about some candidates which are seriously giving us a lot of concern, a lot of concern. And anybody who's concerned about the welfare of this republic, the welfare of our nation, should be concerned about what they're talking about there. I mean, you had an entire convention talking about abortion. Everybody who spoke last week at the convention was discussing the issue of abortion. And when does human life begin? Certainly, this is a religious topic. Certainly, it is one that should concern us in the religious realm. But what about the other side of it? I mean, everybody's talking about the rights of that child. How about the rights of human beings? You know, people can have question, when does life begin? Does it begin at conception? Does it begin during the first trimester, second trimester, third trimester? People have all kinds of things. The church has its statement. The church has its opinion and has its decision on these matters. But what about the people in Iraq? What about the people in Afghanistan? What about the people in Darfur? I mean, there is no question about, are these life forms? There is no doubt whether these people are living. They are truly living. And we're talking about war. You listen to the rhetoric, it's all about, let's go out and kill people and let's do this and that. Okay, I could respect that you have to think about that embryo and you have to think about these life forms and have reverence for it. But how about having a reverence for life? Why isn't anybody talking about those people there? Because in a sense we have taken the initiative to say that one life form is more important than another life form. And there is a danger in doing that. You know, we talk about the fetuses and we forget that in Iraq. We forget that in Darfur, we forget that in Afghanistan. All throughout the world, there are fetuses inside of women. And those women are dying. Those women are being targeted. They are being killed. Is anybody talking about those women and the fetuses? Sure, go ahead. Let's put the fetuses in the calculation with them. That's fine. But let's stop this talk about abortion as a separate issue. We're talking about the sanctity of life. And it's important in a discussion, not to make it political. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're taking something that is very religious and spiritual and turning it into a political debate for their benefit. Now, the other big thing is, of course, you have Governor Palin talking about her Pentecostal roots. I don't know if you saw, but it really concerns me when she's talking about wars being sanctioned by God. When she stands in front of a group of people at her former Pentecostal church and she talks about praying to God for these wars, for successes in wars. I mean, don't we get it? I mean, how many wars do we need to find? Do we need to fight? I mean, does Bob Dylan have to come out and say how many cannonballs must fly? You know, I mean, when are we going to get it that all war is bad? There are no good wars, okay? You may be able to solve things from war, but that doesn't make it a good thing. Obviously, the bottom line is not to have a war. And sure, there are times when we are pushed. We are pushed to the brink that you cannot do anything else. But shouldn't it be our motto, shouldn't our concern first and foremost be to find that peace? peace that comes in our lives, that we need to start looking within instead of looking without. And you know, they're talking about Israel. They're talking about inside of the Pentecostal movement, the special place of the chosen people, of the Jewish people, and talking about Israel as this place that, hands off, if you talk about it, we need to protect it. You know, in the Orthodox understanding of Israel, Israel means the people of God. It is not connected to a landmass. It is the people of God. And when, you know, when a child is baptized in the Orthodox Church, in the Armenian Orthodoxy, there's a beautiful hymn that's sung. It says, Nor Israel gochetzek, the new Israel, the new people of God, is now strengthened by this acceptance, by putting on the new yoke, the new armor of God. And that is a completely different discussion than to go and defend or kill or maim people in the name of God. Now, this should really concern people. And certainly today, this is not where I'm taking this podcast. I am seriously going to dedicate some time to this in a future podcast, but I want to alert you that you've really got to listen to what these people are talking about, because it is very dangerous. It is incredibly scary what they're talking about, and we need to be alerted. Not, and I'm not talking about it in a fanatic religious sense. I'm talking in a very logical sense. And logical, this is what I mean. If you want to believe in a God, you've got to believe that this God is the creator of all and not just one group of people. You've got to believe that in this world, if there are wars for God, who is the creator of all, they are all civil wars. In other words, we're on this planet Earth, and we need to be able to get along with each other. You know, we talk about peace in some abstract way. We talk about Jesus as being the Prince of Peace. We talk about religions moving people towards peace. But peace is a true state of being that can be achieved. It means that first and foremost, we need to accept that, yes, we do believe in a creator. And for that creator, all of human life is sacred. Not just Americans, not just Christians. All of human life is sacred. And for us to take that point means that we are taking our next step, our one step, our first step towards a global peace. Like I promised, I will get back to this topic, and I want to, because it's so important and it is such a hot topic at this time. But let's move on, because I do want to tell you about a very pressing issue in Darfur and how we addressed, or how we took one step towards peace last week.
Dark I am, yet lovely as tents of Kedar, as the pavilions of Solomon either. Don't hate me because the sun has darkened me. All my mother's sons were so angry with me.
Last Friday night, it was our Person of the Year, the NSU's Person of the Year Award, and it went to Gabriel Starring. But I have to tell you, what an evening. I mean, people were just talking about the ambiance, about just the way things flowed. We were talking about Darfur, and yes, it could have been a very negative event, but it really turned into something that this genocide is happening. And as bad as it is, at least the light at the end of the tunnel is that there are people who care. The publicity that went out before was, what if someone cared in 1915? And I always think about that, you know, as grandchild of genocide survivors. What if somebody had cared in 1915 to really stop the Turks from what they did to the Armenian people. Well, we can't change the past, but certainly we could do something about today and tomorrow. And Gabriel Starring is that person who is doing something. He's been in Chad, which is where the refugee camps are. He's been with the people of Darfur during this last several years. He's made 6 trips out there with his crew and documented the events. And certainly this has raised awareness about Darfur. But even more than that, he's been on school campuses in public areas with a program called Camp Darfur, and that's where I ran into him for the first time several years ago. We did a Camp Darfur out in Lenox, which is right out on the LAX runway, and just to see those planes going overhead kind of brought to mind what we in the genocide community, quote unquote, in other words, Armenians, we have gone through this for how many years, 90 years now, where people just pass by, they fly by, and they look and they give you a nod and they say, that's great that you're doing that, but you know what, most people could care less about it. And certainly Gabriel is the opposite of that model, because he's saying, okay, most people will care less about it, but I do care. He is somebody. What if someone cared in 1915? I don't know about that, but I'll tell you something. Gabriel Starring is somebody who cares in 2008. And so last Friday night was a way to say thank you, but also to raise awareness about Darfur. And, you know, people were coming up to me at the event, after the event, and telling me, we never knew as Armenians that there were other people who had gone through genocide to the extent that we did. I mean, we a lot of times talk about the Holocaust, but you know, Holocaust is a different experience. Obviously, death is death, and the magnitude of genocide is something in, something that you cannot say, well, one is better than the other, or one was more tragic than the other. But there are differences in the characteristics, and certainly in the genocide of the Armenian people were driven right out of their own lands, and this is what's going on in Darfur. Where do you go? You're outside in Chad. That is not your own land. That is not your home. And in these refugee camps, Gabriel is documenting the events that are taking place over there. I got one letter that was written by one of the attorneys that was there, Christopher Arman. He says, I can't tell you how excellent the program Friday night was. It was over the top. I was so proud of those kids risking their lives at as a Camp Darfur team. They are the true heroes in our societies. Blessed be the peacemakers. You once again pulled off a great and motivating event. The site was spectacular. And you know, that night, not only did we focus on Darfur, we talked about what we're doing as a ministry. And we had the unveiling of the 7x77 calendar. It's going to be available and is available right now. You can go to our website and order one. But even more than that is we had the big 8x8. It was the size of a wall. Anybody who was at the 7x77 Forgiveness Conference last year was part of that mural. And it is just overwhelming when you see it stretched out on canvas. Gregory Baylarian, the artist who put it together, he was on hand, and he even had some signed copies that were available to people. But it was a sight to see, and certainly people will be noticing this as it gets out on the web, as it makes its way throughout the United States as a canvas, and hopefully we could even take it out to other countries. But for right now, you'll get a chance to see it in a city that's close to you. Also, 1J411. People thought it had been put to rest, but no way! It was resurrected! 1J411 is the official newsletter of the Inishu's Ministries, and it references 1 John 4:11, which said, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Wow, how nice is that? And how about the blonde on the cover? If anything will get you to look up this issue, that will certainly do it. So, if you don't have a copy, you could just drop us an email at our feedback line. We'll be happy to mail you a copy. Or you could just go up on the website and see the electronic version of it. But I'm really glad that that got put together, because it is the glue that puts our society, our small society, in issues together.
יש קרצ'ן אבל בליצו לא מכנץ יש פרקצם חונה עבורים היאס כז יש קנקין הרץ אין תר יש אפרלם שם ענקים.
And finally, what is that expression, last but not least? Actually, it can't be least. I mean, what an incredible performance by Gor Mkhitaryan. He debuted two of the songs that will be appearing on his latest CD of spiritual works coming out later this year. But, oh, I mean, when you... This is what you would expect. You went into this little theater area where Gabriel spoke. The backdrop was the 777 mural, plastered against the nebula, a spiral nebula. And Gregory Baylarian's creation was so incredible because it took human form and attached it to this forgiveness, which is a cosmic idea, and he had it interlaced with this nebula of stars, and we called it specifically the spiral, the universal spiral of peace. And that's USP, not to be confused with any peripheral that is attached to your computer. But the universal spiral of peace is this reminder that peace is essentially in our hands. That yes, it is universal in nature, but it is up to us to unite our hands together, to be one with that universe and seek the peace that is also without us and very much within us. And so, with that as the backdrop, Gabriel spoke and Gor brought his spiritual music to that audience. Oh, you should have seen it! I mean, like, that was like the most magical evening there was. I mean, there are times when you could say there is magic, but this was magic. Well, I guess it helps that the Hollywood sign was right outside and you could see the observatory lit up. Oh, I cannot say enough about it. You know what? I'm going to put some pictures up on the website. You'll probably have it by the time this podcast gets produced. So make sure you check it out. A lot of pictures. And certainly, I want to thank all of you. Whether you came, whether you purchased tickets, or just so many of you who couldn't make it, you were excited about it and you sent in a donation, or just dropped me a line about it. Thank you very much. I think that we reached our goal, and we will talk more as this unfolds. We don't let anything get in issues. We don't let anything just linger and go to sleep. We keep things alive all year long, just like our Christmases. We celebrate every day. I want to celebrate the in issues and most importantly, bring attention to Darfur, which is in the genocide in the happening. First time ever, we have a chance to do something about it. Well, we come to the message of today, and certainly it's a big one coming up this Sunday. It's the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. You know, the Armenian Church Orthodoxy has five major feast days. There's Christmas, there's Easter, there's Transfiguration, and of course, we just had one last month, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This Sunday is called the Feast of the Holy Cross or Exaltation. Actually, in some churches, it's celebrated right on the 15th. In the Armenian Church, it's celebrated on the Sunday closest to the 15th of September. And there's various reasons. I don't want to get into calendar reasons, but suffice it to say that we're in the season right now. And I thought I'd talk a little bit about the history of that feast. And in so doing, also give us a chance to really reflect on why we celebrate a feast of the Holy Cross. I mean, like, why not celebrate just Easter and say, hey, Jesus beat the cross? Well, there's reasons for it. And first of all, the history of it. According to holy tradition, and this is like we're talking about the story of the church, right? The Holy Cross was ceremoniously elevated on three different occasions. And by this, we mean it was actually, literally, the cross of Christ was lifted up so that people could venerate it. People could come down and say that this is a holy artifact. It ties us with our faith. It's not, and this is important, you know, people think that you can just have a faith by itself without any of these symbols, and you certainly can. Certainly can. But these symbols, whether it's a cross or whether it's a piece of cloth, or a few weeks ago we talked about the grapes, these are just reminders for us. You know, even like when you come into an Orthodox church, you have the tradition of lighting candles. Those candles don't get your prayers up to heaven any sooner than if you didn't light a candle. But what it does do is it allows you to focus. And all traditions, not just Christianity, the mainline religions, like if you look in Buddhism, if you look at Hinduism, they have these points of contact where they become the objects that facilitate a meditation or facilitate our prayers. And certainly when you look at a candle, you should be reflecting on Christ as the light of the world. Well, what does that mean? Is he a candle? No, he's not a he even. It's love being this light, this energy that is beyond our ability to comprehend. It lightens up the dark. It brings warmth to the coldness. It all comes together. And so when you light a candle, you're supposed to be using it as a point of reference, as a point of focus. And certainly the cross is exactly that. When you look at a cross, it's to bring some, it has a meditative function. In other words, you meditate on it and you start thinking about what that cross means. And so the people were invited to look up at Jesus's cross, which was elevated. And the first time that this was done, it was by the Bishop of Jerusalem, St. James the Apostle. He elevated the cross, and for the first time they sang a hymn called "We Bow Before Your Cross, O Christ," one of the ancient hymns of the church. The second time history records that the cross was elevated was when it was discovered. Queen Helena, she was the mother of Emperor Constantine. In 326, she discovered the cross, and there's a tradition wrapped around that. And when we get to that particular feast, we'll talk about it, but that was the second occasion that it was elevated. And the third occasion, probably the most auspicious, was when it was returned from captivity. Now, you got to think about it. Already in the early centuries, the cross of Christ had been identified as a Christian symbol. People say that you don't need these symbols. Well, it, obviously, early centuries, early church, it was already identified as a Christian symbol. And the Persians had taken the cross, and it was roughly in the early parts of the 7th century, 629 was when they finally brought it back to Jerusalem, and the cross was then venerated in Jerusalem, elevated and venerated. And of course, you can find the details to all of these events in any good Sunday school book or history of the church. My object now is not to talk about the history of it, but to relate it to our lives, because I think that's what is called of the Orthodox Christian. Not to be wrapped up in details as much as how those details play into our life and our faith today. I'd like you to reflect today about that symbol. You know, if you look in the Armenian church, predominantly you'll never find it, the cross as a crucifix. It is void of a figure on it. During the season of Great Lent, you will see the crucifix, but otherwise the Armenian cross doesn't have that figure on it. And in many senses, you could say that the emphasis has always been on resurrection, and certainly for a small group of people living against all the odds, that resurrection has inspired. But in looking at those empty crosses and focusing on resurrection, we also miss the point of something very important. Because think about it for a moment. You know, I could talk to you all I want about resurrection. You won't get it. Neither will I, because there's absolutely none of us that have had that experience. Which, who's died and resurrected? If you look around you, look at the cemeteries by us in the LA area. There's a big one called Forest Lawn. It goes on for acres and acres. It's like choice real estate, too, if you think about it, how they pick the choice real estate for the dead people. Anyway, don't get me started on that one now. But you look at the cemeteries, people go in, they don't come out. It's beyond our daily experience and our daily understanding. A few minutes ago, we talked about logical approaches. It's even beyond logic. Somebody dies, they're put into the grave, and that's it. It's over. So don't tell me that we all understand resurrection. Conceptually, we may understand the terms of it, but no one's really experienced it. Now, let me talk to you about crucifixion. Ah, now we start understanding. Because you've been crucified, because you've gone through difficulties, you've had people abuse you, you've had people betray you, you've had people look at you and accuse you of things that you knew were not true, and they knew probably that it weren't true, but still you got accused and you got hurt. You got beaten and you got put up on a cross. That's what crucifixion is. And every one of us can relate to crucifixion. The Feast of the Holy Cross is an opportunity for us to look at that cross and see it as an empty cross and see that beyond every crucifixion, there is a resurrection. Now, I'm going to take it one step more, and this is something that you won't find too many places, I'll tell you this, but I'm going to push it. I'll tell you this, too. I don't think you can experience a resurrection without a crucifixion. In other words, you have to go through that pain. You look in Buddhism when they talk about the suffering and, you know, it all plays out in this big cosmic way. That Christ, too, he came and he didn't just resurrect. He didn't say, let me go and have a natural death. You know what? I think I'll just wait until my time is up and I'll die and then I'll resurrect 3 days later. No, there was a crucifixion. And a crucifixion implies difficulties. It implies suffering. Suffering for nonsense. In other words, nonsense being that you cannot make sense out of it. There is no reason, no logical reason. Jesus Christ came and he gave love. He preached love and he lived love. He healed the sick. He brought to life the people that were dead. He united the lost souls. And in return, he was abused. He was killed. And he did it willingly. He did not abandon the cross. He did not come off of the cross, nor did he want to come off the cross. He took it for our sins, for your sins, my sins. And I think this is so incredible when you look at the cross, because in every cross you see crucifixion, but you're given an opportunity to see also victory. And you know, each of us has our crosses in life. And there are so many people that will give you their little interpretations. You know, God doesn't give you crosses that you can't bear. God will help you. You know what? God doesn't give you crosses. We bring our crosses on ourselves. And God takes a look at us in those crucifixions and sees how we're dealing with our life circumstances. This is important. God doesn't give us our crosses. Well, you say, well, what about the guy who's suffering from cancer? Well, you know, even if the guy was a non-smoker, you know, and he's got lung cancer, how do you explain that? Well, look at the environment. Look what we've done to it. You say that, well, what about the guy who's got all kinds of difficulties in his financial life, and now he's facing losing his house and losing his family because of finances? Well, you know what? This is so important in the terms of personal responsibility. Nobody wants to talk about personal responsibility, but that's the reason why we have these crucifixions in our lives. All the difficulties we have stem from us not taking care of what God has given us. Now, is this to say that there is no bad in the world? Of course there is bad in the world. There is evil that comes from the outside. Other people, there are evil hearts that play on us. But in all things, we need to take human responsibility. In other words, it may not be my fault that there is a genocide in Darfur, but certainly the human race, I am part of it. And as long as I don't speak up and open my eyes and want to help, then I am part of the problem rather than the solution. And the same thing, I'm talking about genocide right now, bring it down to your personal difficulties. In each of our lives, we have difficulties. We have crucifixions. The Christian is able to look at the cross and say that there is a victory on that cross. Now, let's take a look at Jesus' original crucifixion. It took place on a Friday. You know, there were a lot of people who were just hanging out, looking at Jesus on that Friday and saying, hey, look at that guy. He tried, but it didn't work. It didn't work. Look at that. They said so many things. And you know what? If the story ended on Friday, what would have happened? There'd be no story today. There'd be nothing you'd remember. But what's important is that the story continued at the gate of the cemetery. When they went and they found that Jesus had resurrected, the promise was extended now to each and every one of us. So a lot of times we're standing on those crosses. We're crucified on those crosses. We have physical problems. We have emotional problems. We have financial problems. We have community problems. We have family problems. Each of these are crucifixions in themselves. And we say, can we ever make it off of these crosses? Yes, you can. By looking at the cross, you see beyond Good Friday and you see the power of the resurrection. The cross gives you that opportunity to, just as these saints who lifted up the cross, to lift up your difficulties and say that, yes, I can get through this with the power that God has given me. Once you get through it, it's important to not forget the cross. That's the last part of this message. You know, many of us wear these crosses, and I'm always impressed how entertainers are now wearing the cross. And I thought that this was a symbol of Christianity for them, and little did I know that it was just basically a fashion statement these days. Well, you can get all kinds of pretty crosses. Sometimes people might give you a nice one that you like, that you always wear. Sometimes they may give you something that looks like a cross and looks like a cross to them and not to you. You may not like to wear it, but in all cases, these crosses are just symbols. So you got the cross, you wear it. Now, what I'm going to challenge you to do is to wear the real crosses. Those difficult ones that you have, change those crosses into resurrections. To take those difficult times that you had and be able to extend yourself to people and circumstances. I'm always taken by the example my sister gave me a few years ago when she was diagnosed with cancer. And when she overcame her cancer, her next step was to go out there and raise money for breast cancer. And so, in other words, a cross so bearing on her that it could have easily brought her down, but instead she lifted up that cross and started extending the resurrected cross to others by helping others, by raising money, by raising awareness to others. That's why I think the In His Shoes movement is so with the times right now, Because why? Our cross was genocide. As an Armenian, my cross was genocide. Can I lift that cross up and point the resurrected cross to the people in Rwanda, to the people in Darfur today? And in the same way in your situation, do you have financial problems? Can you raise up a resurrected cross now and show it to the people who are suffering, to people who may not have the hope, to people who are struggling today, and tell them that if you are holding a resurrected cross, they can hold a resurrected cross? The power of elevating a cross is not just a historic event. It is not just something, and this is the point that Orthodoxy makes. Orthodoxy is not the past, it is the today. It is taking that event from the past and applying it to our lives today. You know what? There is so much to talk about the cross, and I always say this at the end of these messages. I always feel like I'm like there's so much more to talk about and discuss, but never enough time. So how about if we promise that we'll give you a part two of this next week? Because I think it's the cross is one of those underestimated things. Actually, you know what? We have four different feasts of the cross. So in a couple weeks, we have Varakachach. We'll be talking about that. But right on that same Varakachach day is the blessing of the Miron. So I'll be talking about Miron too. So we've got all kinds of things coming up in the next few weeks. But I do promise to continue on this thread. But for right now, I want you to think about going out to a church this Sunday. If you get a chance, come on out to Glendale. We have a beautiful service called Antastan, which is associated with this feast of the elevation. They raise the cross up, and there's a blessing of the fields and the blessing of the people, of course, and their work and their labor. And in the midst of all this, there is holy basil. How about that? You can even have the start to your salad, your Sunday afternoon salad. Well, the basil, as you know, is a very special spice. It has roots that go to the cross of the Christ. Actually, it was right inside of a garbage heap that Jesus' cross was found. And surrounding it was this basil, or basilicos, or basil in English, which literally means royal, or the plant of the king. Now, you know, I told you about wearing the cross. That's a nice little tradition. Did you know that knocking on wood, you know, like when you say something, you say, oh, knock on wood, you know, and you hit something that's made out of wood. If you can't find it, I'm sure many of you have tried your head. Most Christians at the time carried a piece of the wood, which they believed was the original piece of the cross at the time of Jesus. And when danger threatened, they would touch the wood and signify that the power of God through the cross, they were able to endure their difficulties. And this is where the habit of knocking on wood began. But besides these traditions, there's something very special that I want to leave you with today. It comes to us from the Apostle St. Paul. And he says it so beautifully in 1 Corinthians 1:18. He says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Now think about that for a moment. If you don't really have any clue of your life and you're on the road to destruction, somebody comes and talks to you about cross and everything, you're going to say, "What a foolish idea!" And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because there's even groups that criticize the message of the cross. St. Paul continues and says, "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Well, we are at the end of this podcast, and I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope you'll join us again next week. Go to our website, inhisshoes.org. Check out all the things that are happening. You could see details about the September 5th event. There's links to all of the people who've been supportive of us. We're going to have a new e-commerce site coming up very shortly, so you can pick up t-shirts and the calendars. There's links to Gore's site. You could hear his latest songs, the ones that have just been released. And of course, most importantly, there's links to getting involved. Find yourself a nice church. Set up some relationships with people that you care about and love, and find those churches that are really reaching out and doing God's work. a place that you could plug into and be a part of. If you'd like to drop us some email feedback, you can do so at feedback@epostle.net or give us a call on our voice message center at 626 area code 275 Amen. Of course, you can also dial Amen. Now, for our producer, Susie, and for Ken, working diligently up in the booth, this is Father Boskin, hoping that you'll join us again next week when we take the next step.